Nanaia Mahuta joins us. Nanaia is still our acting Minister of Foreign Affairs until the new arrangements are sorted. So we have reason to discuss some international issues. We'll touch on Vanuatu and Gaza, and also chat about Hauraki and the potential establishment of Māori wards. So that's our kaupapa. Warm welcome to you. Tohene tēnā koe, Nanaia.
Morena, Dale. Kia ora.
Kia ora. Let's start with Vanuatu, because obviously Cyclone Lola has been hammering down there. What can you share with us this morning, Nanaia?
Yeah, well, I mean, periodically New Zealand gets ready to support and assist the Pacific during the cyclone season. This is that moment. We're in that period of time. So what we're advising is that all those from New Zealand in Vanuatu register with Safe Travel. That enables us to send out advice and also, you know, if they need to seek emergency shelter, if there are issues in relation to their theirs and their family's safety and well-being, that we can support. Again, Safe Travel is our database that we make contact through our consular support. What we are also in readiness to provide, if asked for, is cyclone relief, and that could come in by way of either, you know, food, water, support like that, or health professionals. So that will all depend on the severity of the impact. But for now, we're keeping a watching brief. We do know that this is a tense time for those people who are over in Vanuatu. We've got 92 New Zealanders that are currently registered with Safe Travel. We wouldn't be surprised if that number increased if there was a more severe impact of the cyclone in the region.
Well, we're always poised to assist our whanaunga more in the wider Pacific. Obviously, things are ramping up in Gaza, and the opposition to the Israeli planned ground attacks is rising globally, including Aotearoa. What can you tell us about the international community's response here, and are you satisfied with New Zealand's?
Well, look, first thing is that the international community have held a meeting of the United Security Council, the United Nations Security Council, to discuss this matter. There is a keen desire to ensure a number of things. Firstly, there is a strong desire to see the de-escalation of conflict, because nobody wins when conflict occurs, least of all civilians and those most innocent. And we've seen the human tragedy of the loss of life both in Israel and Gaza as a result of this most recent conflict. Secondly, Hamas and the actions of Hamas, a terrorist organisation, has been condemned around the world. And again, Israel's actions should be proportionate to what has happened there. And again, a lot of diplomatic discussions around how do you try and resolve an issue that's been sitting around for at least 70 years and, you know, try and accelerate the pathway towards peace and stability, which is a two-state solution. On the immediate issues, Dale, what New Zealand is arguing for is the safeguarding of humanitarian corridors so that we can get aid in to the areas that have been most affected, where civilians now in Gaza, for example, have no access to water or food. So we're arguing for that. We're arguing for the unconditional release of those who have been abducted and held by the Hamas against their will. We are arguing for the preservation of safe spaces, because again, civilians should not be harmed through any of this conflict that is occurring. We're arguing for the acceleration of a two-state solution process and mediated negotiations. And we're also saying that in the scheme of things, we must the actions that are being undertaken should adhere to international law, so the protection of human rights and also the proportionality of actions that Israel is certainly taking in relation to this current situation.
How heartbreaking is it, though, to know that many who are being killed in these airstrikes against Gaza are women and children. Of that there is no doubt. You say that a proportionate response from Israel would be appropriate. Well, 1,400 people were taken hostage. It appears that there's more like a 10 to 1 thinking here, and some say that there could be 14,000 that are killed. What would you say of what seems from the outside looking in as the indiscriminate bombing of communities in Gaza?
This is why I'm saying, Gail, the international community are trying to exercise a collective cautioning of further escalation of conflict, calling for a humanitarian pause in order to discuss the prospect of a ceasefire to enable the acceleration of a two-state solution. I think that, in a logical sense, is the way forward. But you asked me about the huge loss of life. There are no words. There are no words to characterise the needless loss of life in a conflict that has been, whose foundation has been long-standing and has not been able to be resolved. And I think that's at the very heart of the matter. Unless the international community are going to use all of its diplomatic might to accelerate what is the underlying problem, we will see things bubbling up periodically and catastrophically like we are seeing right now. And it's a tragedy.
Kia ora. Our thoughts with all, particularly with the whānau who are getting caught in the crossfire here in Gaza. Nanaia Mahuta with us. Nanaia, what can you tell us about Hauraki Māori wards? There's a bit of work here being done. Can you bring our listeners up to speed?
Well, firstly, can I just acknowledge the Hauraki District Council, Mayor Toby Adams, and his councillors, but also to the many Māori communities who have advocated to have Māori wards. Yesterday, my understanding is a unanimous resolution was made to establish Māori wards. People are overwhelmed and overjoyed by that. Hauraki turned out in force to support the call for Māori wards in order for them to be able to contribute to the regional decisions in the area where they have a vested interest. So I just want to congratulate the iwi out in Hauraki, the councillors, the communities who rallied behind to get a unanimous decision. So that may well see two seats around the council table. There'll be a representation review process, and those seats will be ready for the 2025 local body elections.
Tēnā koe, well, that's quite the milestone. It's a bit of a flashpoint. It's a hot topic, isn't it? Māori wards, perhaps even more so, with the change of government.
Well, I would hope that the incoming government will see the benefits of having Māori around the decision-making table, especially at local government level, because as we see the Hauraki collective claims come on board and finalised, we will see Hauraki asserting more of an interest in the way that their rohe is developing, can grow, thrive and prosper for everybody's benefit. And if they're able to anchor in Hauraki, if Hauraki iwi are able to anchor in the way that they can contribute and lead, in some cases, the developments in their area, everybody benefits. But nobody benefits when some of the communities shut out. So, you know, hopefully the incoming government will see the merit of not only retaining Māori wards, but further including Māori in the types of decision-making that will see regional growth and prosperity.
Tēnā koe, Nunaia. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us. Look forward to each and every time we have a conversation. Ngā mihi, tuhine, tēnā koe.
Kia ora.
Urban Māori Radio Wātea, 6:03 a.m. Nanaia Mahuta with us.